We're so fortunate at Broadway to have working with us and being part of our group, Dr. Larry Smith. He and I have worked together with this church for so more years than I can remember, but we've always worked in perfect harmony, and he's a great encourager. He's encouraged me at times when I needed the encouragement the most. One of the things I like to say about Larry is that he's highly skilled as a counselor, and I know that many members of this church have been helped by his personal counseling with them. And I always like to assure people that if you go and see Larry about any problem, that that will remain between you and Larry. We never make any inquiries, and he never speaks of anybody that he is counseling, because we respect that privilege between each individual and the counselor. And so do not hesitate to talk to Larry anytime if you have a problem that you'd like to discuss, a personal problem. And he's helped many members of the community by his counseling services as well. But he's especially gifted in preaching and in teaching. And it's been, I think the last time that he spoke was the first Sunday of this year. So he's overdue to speak. He's been preparing a lesson. And so this Sunday, we're going to hear from Larry Smith.
Alan, thank you very much for your generosity. I really appreciate that. And what I'd like to do is to start right into our message here. It's been a while since I've been up here to actually preach and teach, because I just haven't had the capacity to do it. And it's back again, and I really appreciate Alan for the opportunity. The lesson today I wanted to share with you, it comes to us from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, one of my favorites of all the prophets. And it's Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 12. A little bit about the text itself. History contains no authentic picture, portrait, or likeness of Jesus. Isaiah 53:2 says, he has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. In speaking of Christ, men are mistaken when they make him out to be some beautiful person. Jesus, described in scripture, was a common person, a common man. What is emphasized was the way he lived and the doctrine he taught. What becomes the highlight for us as Christians? Our song, Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen, tells us that in Jesus, through the words in scripture, we find the beauty in Jesus. We find in Jesus the comforter. We find in Jesus the guide for us. We find in Jesus the opportunity to grow, the opportunity to spread the word of God. And our song, Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen. We see Jesus in so many different ways. And today I'd like to share a couple of the ways we see Jesus. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. It's not outward beauty, but spiritual. Not the outward beauty of Jesus, it's the spiritual beauty of Jesus. The wonderful passion, purity of Jesus. May a spirit divine all my being, refine it within us. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in all of us. Jesus lived a pure life, Hebrews 4:15. For we have not had a high priest which cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we were, yet without sin. Jesus was tempted, but was without sin. What is it that we need to do to let the beauty of Jesus be seen in us? What is it we need to do to let the beauty of Jesus be seen in us? Because as we contact others within the world and others, family members and co-workers, those who come in contact with us, they know that we see Jesus as our leader, as see Jesus as our guide, as see Jesus as one we try to emulate as much as possible. So in doing such, it becomes incumbent upon us to make sure we do the very best we can to mimic Jesus in our interactions with the rest of the world, with family, with friends, and all. Because in it, many times, our behavior, Jesus becomes the measuring glass. You'll hear people say things like, "I thought she was a Christian." You hear what he said? He's supposed to be like Jesus. We become walking models of Jesus in our interactions with others. And in such, what we want to do is to make sure that we bring others to Christ. And we do that in many instances by how people see the reflections of Christ within us. Our discussion today will let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me by, one, our pure life, the life we live. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his heart, in his heart they shall see God. If we want to see heaven, 1 John 3:3 says that, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he pure. To be pure, we must abstain from impure things." When we represent Jesus as Christians, we must represent all that is pure. We must represent all that is wholesome. We must represent Jesus because people look to us who profess Jesus as our Lord and Savior and who profess Jesus as our guide. 1 Corinthians 3:16 states that, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" The temple of God dwelleth in you as Christians. And as such, we become walking billboards for Christ or against Christ as to how we conduct and carry ourselves, because we're representatives of Christ and the church. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech ye, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." We are to be on our best behavior, maintaining the very best we can as representatives of Christ and his church. Pure in speech, what we say. And many times the yardstick used in our conversation is the yardstick of Jesus Christ. "I thought she was a Christian." He acts like that, and he's supposed to be a Christian. Well, I don't want to be a part of that. And we become, to the world, representatives of Christ, which is a great honor when we do so wholesomely, when we do so scripturally, when we do so out of the love of Christ and wanting to best emulate Christ to the rest of the world. Jesus always had pure speech. One of the things we want to do as Christians is to monitor our speech. Monitor what we say, how we say it, and to whom we say it. When somebody has been so unkind to you, some word spoken that pierces you through and through, think how it was beguiled, spat upon, and reviled. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. Your response is the opportunity to teach. If you have been the victim, your response becomes an opportunity to teach. the love of Christ, to teach the patience of Christ, to teach the understanding of Christ in how you respond. If you respond in kind, and what the person will probably say, I thought he was a Christian. I thought she was a Christian. Did you see how she went off on me? When somebody has been so unkind to you, some word spoken that pierces you through and through, think about your reaction. Think who you represent. When you claim to be a Christian or a follower of Jesus Christ, we represent Christ in our day-to-day behaviors, in our day-to-day actions with the world. And in many instances, they judge Jesus by us. They judge whether or not they want to become a part of Christ's church by how we conduct ourselves. So we are to be on our best Christian behavior in our interactions with others, because we become walking billboards for Christ or against Christ. But that is a noble responsibility, because it affords us the opportunity to bring so many, many people to Christ by our behavior. 1 Peter 2:22 says, who did no sin, Christ did no sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth. What he said was truthful. We're to model that behavior. What we say is truthful. Isaiah 53:9 reads, and he made the grave with the wicked and the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Thinking of Jesus as our guide, we need to be pure in speech as well. Because you'll hear people say things like, I thought she was a Christian. And she talks like that. I thought he was supposed to be a Christian. Well, I don't want any parts of Christ. We just became a person that's driving people away from Christ by our behavior. That's why it's important that we mimic Jesus in our day-to-day actions, mimic Jesus as best we can in our interactions with family, friends, and acquaintances. Because we become representatives. When people know that we are followers of Jesus Christ, we're representatives of the entire Christian world. 1 Peter 2:1 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, they are to be set aside. Those are parts of the world. And we're not part of that world. We're Christians. We follow Jesus Christ. Again, hypocrisies. Again, envying. Again, all evil speaking. That does not encompass us as Christians. Because when we become part of that mob, then we become anti-Christ, because people will measure Christ by our behavior. Ephesians 4:29 said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What we say, it is extremely important. Because once we confess our love and fellowship of Jesus Christ, we're measured by that. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We want to edify or build up people by what we say, how we conduct ourselves, how we interact with others. We become messengers of the Christian faith when people understand that we follow Jesus Christ. This means that we need to abstain from telling dirty jokes, neither filthiness, foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks, taking every opportunity to be thankful for Jesus Christ, the teachings of the church, and how it affords us the opportunity to show what God has done in our lives. We are to avoid gossip. avoid engaging in gossip. Proverbs 26, 20 through 23 says, where no wood is, there is a fire goeth out. So without gossip, many times, many disruptions and issues that among people will dissipate. It's usually gossip that starts so much discord among people. So there is no tale bearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man or woman to kindle strife. The words of a tale bearer are the wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And we see it, and it becomes something that becomes a part of us that changes us. When we can't ward off evil thoughts of others, evil conversations of others. Because remember, we are the world's representatives of Jesus Christ when we profess Christianity. One of the things that we must do is to monitor ourselves to make sure that we are always truth tellers. Ephesians 4, 25, 29, and 31 speaks of lying. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbors. Truthful, or abstain from speaking about any situations where you feel as though you have to tell a falsehood. For we are members of one another. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What we say, Jesus Christ will be measured by. I thought she was a Christian. Well, I don't want any parts of that if that's coming out of her mouth. He's speaking like that. I don't want any parts of Christ. We become more of a barrier to people coming to Christ than one that brings people to Christ. So we're to monitor our voice, monitor what we say, monitor our feelings, to the point to always, before we open our mouths to speak to anyone, remember, I am representing Jesus Christ. Let that be your first thought. I am representing Jesus Christ. But Larry, you don't know what she said to me. I don't care. I'm more concerned about you and your representation of Jesus Christ than what she said about you. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor with evil speaking be put away. All malice put away from us, because we are walking, talking representatives of Jesus Christ. We can either be add to the church or detract from the church by how we compose ourselves, how we comport ourselves. We are living sacrifice. Jesus' life was characterized by personal sacrifice. So we're to sacrifice just as Jesus did. He is our model. We're to sacrifice those things that would be counter to someone becoming a Christian. From the dawn of the morning to the close of the day, in examples, in deeds, and in all we say, all we do, lay your gifts at his feet. Ever strive to keep sweet your voice, your words, your thoughts. Keep it in a situation where a person feels at ease and feel at rest with you, because they know you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And in such, they know that they have a person they can confide in, a person they can find that will always be there with a lender, with a helpful ear, and words of encouragement. That's what a representative of Jesus Christ does. Matthew 8 and 20 says, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And with that, we want to make sure that we try to make sure our day-to-day behavior and our constant conversations are representative of Christ and the church as people of God. Are we held to a higher standard? Absolutely, and rightly so, and we should be. It is an honor to be a Christian. And we should honor that responsibility by being the best representative of Jesus Christ we possibly can. But made unto himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men, Jesus Christ. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself. Here's the Son of God humbling himself. Now, how can one of us have any gumption to think that we're too proud to humble ourselves in the presence of the Lord? And became obedient unto death, even the death at the cross. Our lives need to be characterized by sacrifice as well, showing the world that our love of Christ and the church causes us to sacrifice, and we gladly sacrifice our time, those things we have control of, our time, our money, our friendship, those things that we have control of that we're willing to share because we're Christians. Our lives need to be characterized by sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a holy sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, which is our responsibility. And be not conformed to this world. We are a part of, we're in the world, but we're not a part of the world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are walking representatives of the perfect will of God. That's why it becomes such an honor to be a Christian, such a privilege to be a Christian, such a responsibility to be a Christian, to comport ourselves as Christians, to model ourselves as of Christ. Matthew 16, 24 and 25 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. There are many things we have to deny ourselves of that are part of the world because we're followers of Jesus Christ. And take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. To save your life, to do the things that everybody else does, it causes you to lose your perspective on Christ and the church. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Christ speaking. Lose the human self and think of yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a Christian. It moves you from the general population, but it makes you more valuable to the world itself, because what happens is that people see you and they try to emulate you. They try to model themselves after you. And it makes the world a better place. And each of us has that capacity. Not only that capacity, we also have that as an obligation. How do we sacrifice? First, Matthew 6:33 says, seek God first. Seek God first. Those things that we have questions about, do we take it to the Lord before we make a decision? Or have we become so cynical that we think that I'll do whatever I want to do, and if it blows up in my face, then I'll take it to the Lord. No, take it to the Lord. Give it contemplation. Think about it for a while. Share with the Lord. What do you think, Lord? And then make your decision. How do we sacrifice? Seek God first. Giving. 2 Corinthians 8 and 3, 1 through 3 says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to not giving, but going to that party, rather a worldly event or place." First, think in terms of the church, to giving, to spread the word of God. For the time of our past life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess, wine, reveling, banqueting, abominable idolatries. Those are the features of the world. We're set apart from that, which makes us models for the world, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them, but the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy in the midst of affliction, abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded about into the riches of the liberality. They became even more liberal. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing to give of themselves. As Christians, ours is to give. God has provided for us in many ways to give of our time, our resources, those things that we've been gifted with and blessed with, to be able to share that with someone else. It brings people closer to the Lord, which is our prime responsibility, is to have our behavior to attract others to Christ, to do what we can to bring others to Christ. Because as Christians, we stand as Christians, and as such, it becomes our responsibility to spread the word of God, to say of the goodness of God for us, and to model Jesus Christ. In conclusion, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, in you, in all who profess Christianity. Let the beauty of Jesus manifest itself in us, in our behavior, in our language, in how we interact with others. May we have the purity of life because others will watch us as professed Christians to see how they are to comport themselves. In many instances, we are seen as models of what people aspire to but just don't have the willpower yet. Haven't given themselves in yet to do it, but they aspire to be us, Christians. Help them. Be patient with them. Bring them along. And more than anything else, model the behavior, the attitude, and the message of Jesus Christ in your day-to-day interactions with others. And when you do that, others will come to Christ. And you have been the impetus for that to happen. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me by pure life, a pure speech, living sacrifice, charitable deeds. One of the things I want to do in closing down with you now is to say that it is such a privilege, such an honor to be a Christian, because it affords for us the opportunity to make a positive impact on those who would come in contact with us. We have the opportunity to change our world that we have any influence in. We have that opportunity. And God has gifted us with that opportunity and with the willingness to do it. It becomes an opportunity for us to tell people what God has done for you, to tell people how life has become for you since you were giving your life to Christ. And we become spokesmen. We become monitors and models for others to come to Christ. And in closing, let me say this. Always think to yourself, you're never alone when you have Jesus Christ in your life. You're never alone. And when you have brothers and sisters of Christ in your life, you will never be alone unless you choose to be alone. As we close it, what I'd like to do now is to turn it over to our closing song. Who's our song leader?
Sad day coming, a sad day coming, there's a sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his doom depart, I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Judgment day. Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?